Hello, I'm Danny Gallagher. Welcome to our Business Gateway Connection series of podcasts. Today, we're talking about starting a business after redundancy. More and more of us are facing redundancy, and after we come off the emotional roller coaster and dust ourselves down, it's a great opportunity to do something different, something you fancy, with a new set of eyes and hopefully renewed vigor. And there is a possibility that a significant amount of us will be turning to starting up on our own as a career option. Also, as we go into a new year, there's usually increased interest in starting a company, even more so after COVID 2020. The aim of this podcast is to outline some key elements you may want to consider when starting a business, from both a general business advice and support perspective. We'll also chat about the digital platforms that could propel your business to success, along with the challenges along the way you can reasonably expect. Today in our Business Gateway podcast, we've got our almost resident consultant, digital specialist, Sarah Johnson from Indigo Leap. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Danny.
And also from Elevator, Gillian McDonald, who's a startup business team leader with Elevator. Hi, Gillian.
Hi there, Danny.
So I thought we would just kick off with an easy one. Let's imagine I've got a great business idea, or I think it's a great business idea. How do I work out if it's going to be feasible, Gillian?
Yeah, well, that is one of the main points, isn't it, Danny? You think it is a feasible and great idea, but we need to figure out, is there a genuine need or market for the business idea that you have? In addition to that, also, what is the market doing? You know, what are the trends? What's happening in the market? Is it a growing or a declining market? So market research is the main point that you would see if there is a demand.
Yeah. And so where am I going to find that research then? What do I have to do?
Well, first of all, you need to think about what it is that you're actually looking to do, and then be thinking about who your customers are. So there's lots of different things that you could think about there. So who wants to buy your product or service? Where are they? How many are there? Can you put them into groups, perhaps by age or gender or profession or location? What are their buying habits? Where are they? How often might they buy from you, and what are they willing to spend? The Business Gateway Information Service has some great market research on offer, so they can give you market research reports on different industries, as well as statistics and things that will help you with your research.
Fantastic. That's exactly what I thought you were going to say. Just thinking about business models, Sarah, you're the digital specialist. So in terms of business models, are business models different digitally?
I think the thing is with business models is it's worth thinking the fact that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of variations of business models. But whether you go for a purely physical or digital or a hybrid of both, a lot of business models have the same elements regardless of what platform they're on. And that really is, what product or services are you going to offer to your customers? How are you going to provide it? How are you going to generate income? And how are you going to find potential new customers? So thinking about digitally, so whether you are looking at more traditional business models like consulting and training, or providing a service, or creating a product or selling a product, they're increasingly, and COVID has really pushed this, increasingly there's going to be digital elements to your business model. So one thing we always say is it's important to understand some common digital business models. And some of those include e-commerce, so selling tangible products online. So that's all of your online shops that you're probably on half the time, and things like Amazon and Asos, and there's so many. Also e-commerce, but selling digital services. So not selling a tangible product, but maybe selling training or content downloads or something to consider. Another business model would be a content platform, like review sites or news sites or blogs. And you've got things like two-sided marketplaces. So that's where you are like a matchmaking service, bringing customers and other providers together. So like GoCompare or Airbnb. And another common digital business model, which is a bit more involved, is if you have a technical digital product, like say an app or software as a service, like something like Free Agent or something like that. But there's, it's good to understand those digital business models, because then there's ways that they can help you see new opportunities or maybe work into your business idea. And there's more information about that on Digital Boost on the Business Gateway website.
Gillian, what about financial support then for startups?
Yeah, so this whole thing is about redundancy. I think one of the most important things to remember about redundancy is it's your position that has been made redundant rather than you as a as an individual. So it's important to kind of keep your confidence up with that. In terms of support, there are two main national schemes that, that are available all over Scotland, and especially if you've been made redundant. So if you are in touch with a job centre, there is a scheme called the New Enterprise Allowance Scheme, which is a grant of £1,274 to be exact, and that's over your first 26 weeks in business. So if you're on benefits and you're looking to get off of benefits, it's a wee safety net to help you start the business with some income still coming in. And if you're aged between 18 to your 31st birthday, there is support available through the Prince's Trust. Something else that might be of interest is if someone wants to retrain to get new skills, either for a different job or which may lead to self-employment, there is funding through what's called the Transition Training Fund, and that's available through Skills Development Scotland. So that's worth looking into as well.
So you're a business owner in your own right, Gillian?
Yeah.
And you've just been given £1,240. What would you spend that on? What would be in your shopping list if you were starting up your business from scratch again?
Well, for our online retail shop, it would go into to buying product. And that is exactly how we started off. We didn't have, you know, any grants or money coming in, really. We started small. I remember being at the post office with a little carrier bag with six or seven parcels, you know, when we first started selling online, and all of that money just went back into the business to buy more products, and we built up from there. Now we're sending off sacks of mail every day to the post office. But yeah, because we were using eBay, the marketplace was already there. So you were talking about business model, Sarah, that was perfect for us. You know, there was the structure, the infrastructure was all there. We just had to get the products and organize the postage.
Yeah, we talk about digital businesses as being innovative, but Sarah, what if you're a tradesperson, for example, and you're setting up in business for the first time? Could digital help you to catch customers?
I think most businesses can benefit from an element of digital. It doesn't have to be the be all and end all, but even for trade, you can. There's so many local Facebook groups that potentially you can join and take part in. Having a social page, even if you don't need a website initially, having social platforms, or looking into Google My Business, which if you have a physical premises, you can list it on Google for free. Now, there is caveats, like anybody can change that information on Google My Business, so you need to look after it. But that can be a really great and free way of making sure that you've got a little bit of a digital footprint. And I think with digital, it starts small. If you need to find new customers, try Google My Business, try having a Facebook page or an Instagram page or a LinkedIn page, depending on what fits, and just giving it a go, see if that works, and moving on from that. And then you can always build up and snowball as you gain your confidence and as you see what works and what doesn't.
It's never been easier than it is now to start a business, really, with all the social media. You know, I've been around for a long time, so I remember when it was sending out leaflets and doing the traditional marketing. But these days, like Sarah said, you can set up a page on whatever platform's appropriate for your market and just test the water and see how it goes.
So you don't necessarily need a website?
No, definitely not.
You only need a website if you do need a website, if you like. Don't create a website just for the sake of it. If you're going to use it as one of your business premises, then great. But if you only need a social presence, or if you only need a Google My Business or a local listing, then don't force yourself to have a website if you don't need one.
So the basics, Gillian, of setting up on your own. What about HMRC? What about registering? What do I do?
Yeah, well, talk to Business Gateway. You'll get a friendly business advisor like me. We will take you through the process. We're here to support you, hold your hand, answer any questions that you've got, and to generally cheer you along the way. we can keep you right about registering with HMRC and all the other nuts and bolts and things that you have to do. But yeah, it's very simple. It's easiest out of all the structures to set up being a sole trader and registering with HMRC.
And now that we're all digital savvy, I guess a lot of the information that we glean is from tutorials and webinars. Is that what you would advise someone starting up, Gillian?
Yeah, the best first step is Business Gateway runs a webinar called Startup Awareness, and that one answers most of the questions that anyone has when setting up. Things like legal structure or insurance or bank accounts, the different boxes that they have to tick. So it really gives them, or anyone thinking of starting up, a wee action plan at the end, you know, give themselves peace of mind, know which boxes they have to tick and make sure they've got the information they need to be able to do that. So they can get off and running with their business, knowing that all the initial stuff's been done.
And Sarah, if I've got a business, and we talked about, you know, researching the business and trying to work out, you know, is there a market for it? Could we do something like that digitally? Could we, you know, post something and see what reaction we get? Or is there systems in place that you can, you know, work out what folk are looking for?
Yeah, definitely. There are definitely some digital tools that you can use to just do a little bit of audience research. So audience research is really always the first step in trying to work out whether you have a market and whether people are going to be interested in your product or service. And you need to think about things like, so who do you ask? So first day, you need to do audience research. Who do you ask? So take the time to just jot down a little bit of a pen portrait, if you like, of your audience. Who are they? What age are they roughly? Where do they live? Get a bit of an idea. What do they like or not like? So then you can think, right, who out of my network do I know that fits that bill? And so ask friends and family and ask them if they know anybody that they could put you in touch with that you could just find out a bit more, see if they'd be interested. Also post on your social accounts. Say, I'm interested to know if anybody would want to talk to me about this or would you be interested in buying this? And also you could ask any admins of any related social groups if they would mind helping you or if you could post on them, and they might say no, but if it's something relevant to their group, they might say yes. So those are some easy ways to find people that you can ask, that you can get information from. And also in terms of how to ask, because that also is a consideration, like what do you say? So you can ask directly and just set up a Zoom call and chat to them. Or you could maybe run some social polls on your Facebook. So would you or would you not be interested in this? And you can also set up some surveys that you could ask people to fill in, like on SurveyMonkey or Google Forms. And all of that just gives you a little bit of background and data and something to work with to test your ideas and see if it would work.
Yeah, knowing which questions to ask and what information you need is really half the battle, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that is. I've made it sound too easy. You do have to put quite a lot of thought into the what exactly do I need to know. But there are a couple of articles on Digital Boost about getting feedback and about doing surveys, which should help with this.
What do you find is most successful, Gillian, in your business in terms of the digital platforms?
Definitely eBay. We are on eBay. I mean, that's our main route to market. We do have our own website, but we push people towards our eBay shop. Everything's there. It's nice and easy for us. And our customers are there. We don't really have to go out and push people towards it. We are where our customers are already hanging out. And that's a really good place to be for a business. And it's by making sure that the listings and the information that we use to attract them is what they're looking for.
Okay, so it's the narrative, is it? I suppose that's what being digitally savvy is all about, Sarah, if you've got the keywords in your search. Is that how it works?
I think it's a few things, because obviously keywords are so important if you want to rank on Google or even your local searches. And different platforms like eBay and Amazon, then obviously you want to have those words in your listings and your descriptions. But I think it's also being genuine. It's having good images and good descriptions and being honest about your product and showing it in its best light, your products and service. And thinking about things from your customer's point of view. What did they want to know? What's important to them? As opposed to what do you want to tell them? What do they want to know?
Yeah, you need to put yourself in your customer's shoes, don't you?
So, Gillian, if I'm starting up a business, what's going to be the biggest struggle when I start?
Well, there's a few things that you need to think about. There's the getting set up and the nuts and bolts, you know, having the right legal model and having a good way of keeping your books and your records, you know, the practical side of things. But research, knowing who your customers are, where are they, as I say, getting to know them really well. Also having an appropriate route or routes to them. So where are they going to be hanging out? Where can you put yourself that they will see you with a message that they will just understand and want to buy from you? And also keeping up momentum with that marketing. Lots of people start off with a great plan for their marketing and then get really busy in the business and kind of, you know, they take their eye off the ball with the marketing. It needs to be repetitive and keep up momentum, so you're always in your customer's mind. And having a bit of a plan of attack, a good business plan, which links into a good financial plan. And we can help with all of that. So it maybe sounds a bit scary for people, but none of it is rocket science. And we can take people through that. Having the right prices, that's so important. Again, the financial plan can help with that. And I also think, big thing, making sure you know how your customers find out about you and taking a note of that. And also having money in the bank to cover your day-to-day business running. And knowing where you want to be with the business, because that really helps.
So the million-dollar question has to be, when do I start making cash?
Well, hopefully as soon as possible.
Is it quicker in the digital age to make cash, Sarah?
Oh, I think that's a tricky one. I think that it really depends on your business, your product, your route to market and everything. But the thing with digital is it's got its own challenges, but it can be a much easier route to market. So we've been talking about eBay, where yes, there is a pool of potential customers right there. And so you can quite quickly go in and start selling to them. And it's the same with digital. You don't necessarily need a premises. You can work from home. You can use a laptop or even a smartphone. There's ways that you can enter into your business much quicker if it is just a digital business. Whether that means you can make money quicker, hopefully, but again, that depends. You have to keep at it. It's not an instant money tree. It's something you have to work at and build up and take the good times with the bad and just keep going.
I suppose if you have been made redundant, you've potentially got a nest egg. So my thought process was, you know, how long might that last for before, you know, because cash flow is obviously king. And I think they used to say, Gillian, that, you know, between 8 and 12 months for your business really to bed in. And it then kind of made me think about the digital proposition. Is it much quicker with digital? I mean, does it still take 8 to 12 months to start seeing, the business moving?
I mean, it depends what type of business. That's a really general question, I think, Danny, and difficult to answer. It depends if your prices are right, you know, if you're making a profit, but that's all part of the initial setup, isn't it? You've got to get that right before anything can start to make money.
I was just going to say all of that is factored in, isn't it? So I suppose it's always in an ideal world, you would keep working or keep looking for a job, at least initially, while you're planning and getting your ducks in a row and getting your proposition up and hoping you can hit the ground running. Try and have something in the background as well. Keep your options open. Support yourself as you build up.
Yeah, people often think that they're going to be really busy right from the start, and reality is it doesn't happen like that. And also, you mentioned there, Danny, you know, people being made redundant, if they have a wee nest egg as well, the temptation might be to go and throw that at a business, or perhaps, you know, buying a franchise or spending it. And really, if you can keep a hold of it as long as you can, and figure out what your business looks like on paper. The great thing is there's no risk at all in working everything out on paper to start with, see what it looks like and what the potential is for your business. And the more planning you do, the more chance of success that you have.
We haven't really talked about loans, but I mean, what do you think, Gillian, about startup loans? Do you, the businesses that you help start up, are they successful applying for startup loans?
If they've got a good proposition, so part of it is a good business plan and well-researched information in the plan, and financials that show that the business has got a good chance or that it could be feasible. You know, that's the business case, isn't it? So we can help with putting together the plan. And again, it depends on the type of business. But yeah, startup loans are definitely there. Some sectors are more attractive than others, I suppose, for lenders. But quite often people will think, no, I'm setting up and I'm not going to get a loan. I'm going to use all my hard-earned savings to set off with the business. And quite often, you know, the business needs money later, further on down the line than that. So the bank will want you to put something in alongside, you know, their contribution too. So if you're thinking, looking at it from the beginning, planning out on paper what you need, then you can use any savings that you have to lever out a bit more money from the bank.
Certainly, one of the questions that we get, well, the top question for startups is, you know, what grants are available? Where can I access grants? What can I do with them? Are there certain restrictions? How much? I was just thinking about the £1,240, you know, to help you start up after being made redundant. It's probably not going to go very far, is it?
Yeah, it is just a wee, I mean, some is better than nothing. Something coming in is better than nothing, and it's a wee safety net, but yeah.
Could I set up a website, Sarah, for £1,000?
You could. You can set up a website. You can. There's lots of tools that you can use. So there's, I think, the days of having to have a big design and build project. There's now lots of platforms, things like Squarespace, which actually make it quite easy to pop a website up. There's obviously still cost in some hosting, but it's usually a monthly fee, and you can actually design them yourself. They've got lots of templates. They're easy to use. They link up with your Google Analytics. So they're quite a good bet.
And is WordPress, is that a free site?
Yep, WordPress, you can build a free site on, and also Wix. There's a good few of them that you can use, and some of them look fantastic. Like, you can pull together a really fancy looking website, which can link up through Google Analytics and your SEO quite quickly for a monthly fee. So it's definitely an option if you do need a website.
Yeah, we have a really good webinar, which is a practical, here's how to use WordPress. So you could do your own website. And if it doesn't need a lot of functionality, then, you know, quite often these things tend to be a brochure kind of site as well, don't they? And the people you can use your social media to push people towards your website if that's required.
Yeah, we actually built our own website when we started the agency, just on Squarespace, to just see how easy it was. And it was quite easy. You can just pull it away, and it's quite nice to use.
Well, if you're thinking about starting up a business after redundancy, there's a wealth of tools on the Business Gateway website, egateway.com. That includes tutorials and webinars. And thank you to my guests today from Indigo Leap, Sarah Johnson, and Gillian McDonald from Elevator. You can listen to this podcast and other Business Gateway Connections episodes at bgateway.com/connections-podcast. In the next in our series of Business Gateway Connections podcasts, we'll be taking a sharp intake of breath and preparing ourselves for the real Brexit, leaving the EU. I hope you'll join me for that. Until then, goodbye.